Hello, everybody. I'd like to call to order the May 4th, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, could I please have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Henderson? Oh, I saw him.
Commissioner Henderson, can you unmute yourself? There we go.
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Commissioner Hong, can you please unmute yourself as well? Commissioner Hong?
Hi.
Okay, great.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona. I will now say the Pledge of Allegiance to start off our meeting. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. So, welcome, everybody. Well, I'm getting some feedback now. Okay, there we go. So we are all looking great here on Zoom. I'm happy that we're all here. I have heard rumors that we will be going back to in person sometime soon, maybe this summer, which is very exciting. And then we'll be doing an in-person Zoom format. So the people from IT in the town are very busy working to make that happen, which will be nice to see everybody in person and see everyone's faces again in real life. So, and not just on a computer screen. So for those of you who haven't attended a Zoom meeting just yet, real quickly, I'd like to go over a few parameters on how to participate. So at the bottom kind of middle of your screen, there should be a raise hand icon. And if you click that icon, it will put a little raised hand by your name, and I will get to you in the order in which your hand is raised. So that's for anyone who's using the internet or the Zoom app to participate, anybody who's using a phone has called in, you'll need to press the key *9 to raise your hand, and then that will notify me that you have a comment or a question, and I will call on people in the order that they raise their hands. So the only time I will ask for hands, I will notify you beforehand, so we have a couple public portions and then lots of commission discussions. So please wait for the appropriate time to raise your hand. And with that, I will do our call to the audience. During this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the audience. So if you wish to address the commission on a matter not listed on today's agenda, please notify me now by clicking the raise your hand icon on your computer or *9 if you have called in over your phone. And I am looking at our list of attendees. I do not see anybody with a raised hand. So at this point, I will close the call to the audience. I would like to next. I am not seeing any council members in attendance. Am I missing someone, Ms. Ancona?
Nope. Chair Gamble, I don't see Vice Mayor Barrett either. So. Oh, actually, I see the raised hand just came in.
Well, there we go. Mrs. Sims, will you please unmute Vice Mayor Barrett, and I will turn the time over to her for the council liaison comments.
Yes, thank you. I've been here. I just raised my hand so you could see me when you were commenting on council members being here. I'm unable to see the other participants in the meeting, so I can't really see what you're seeing. Thank you for gathering tonight. I want to thank the commission for the work that they did on Westward Look that you did. In our last meeting, we were able to complete the annexation of Westward Look, and we were able to continue to get a few more compromises for the neighbors in addition to some of the compromises that the commission brought forward. And so I think we ended up with a good result that was kind of a good compromise solution where not everyone got 100% of what they wanted, but everyone got some things to accommodate their needs. And I think it will be a really positive thing for the town moving forward to have that resort part of the town and move us closer to that Ina and Oracle commercial corner that we have kind of one corner of down in that area with our Tohono O'Toole, and then with the annexation of the Westward Look pulling us there. So anyway, thank you for your work on that. I appreciate the commission's listening to the neighbors and all of that. And I think that's something that we can all feel good about. And the reason I dwell on that a little bit is because an annexation is really a unique thing. It only happens once every 5 or 6 years in the history of the town of Oro Valley. So I just kind of mention it a little bit more than a typical rezoning, because I think that each one of you can be proud to have been a part of that history of annexing another piece of Oro Valley into the town. So thank you. And then on our next agenda on Wednesday night, on our consent agenda is the Oro Vista apartments that the commission worked on. And we don't have anything planning related on our next meeting, but Wednesday night, tomorrow night, we will also be hearing the continuance of an ordinance that the mayor and I originally brought forward that would broaden the use of the half cent sales tax to support all parks and recreation. And we held the public hearing on that ordinance at our last meeting and continued that to our meeting tomorrow night due to the fact that council member Solomon was ill and had asked us to continue that. So we did that. So we'll hear that and that proposal tomorrow night and see what the council does with that. And we're also in the beginning of our budget discussions. So hopefully if there's time, we'll begin the first study session on the budget, and the budget and finance commission has begun holding meetings on the budget as well. There's some provisions from the police pension to pay off the police pension that the town council heard previously that will be included in the budget. And those will also be available for public comment as well as anything else in the budget. There will be a public hearing on the budget in some of these next upcoming weeks, if any of the public have any comments they'd like to share on the budget. And I think that's it in terms of the things that are kind of moving forward from a council perspective. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. We appreciate your comments. And with that, we will move on to our first agenda. Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. I do have a question for Vice Mayor Barrett, if I may.
Mr. Bergsma, we can't get into conversation on the council report because it's not actually agendized with enough specificity to get into conversation on the item.
I'm not asking for conversation, Mr. Andrews. I'm just asking a question on a basic fact.
And then she can't answer it. That's the problem. We can't have a discussion back and forth on the council member report.
Again, I'm not active for his discussion. I'm just asking a question about upcoming council actions.
Chair Gamble, Member Bergsma, if it would be okay with you, I'm happy to take your question, Commissioner Bergsma, and follow up with an answer for you, if that would be.
All right. We'll go that way if we have to. The question I have is the status of the council's actions or future actions on the strategic plan. Is anything scheduled regarding that?
May I go ahead and answer that, Mr. Andrews, since that's just procedural that I hadn't mentioned of the council. The council passed that, passed the strategic leadership plan. It was on our previous, we had a study session on the strategic leadership plan, and those changes were incorporated that were asked for by the council, were incorporated by the staff, and it was passed on one of our recent agendas.
Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted.
You can find it. You can find it there.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right. So, Ms. Ancona, can we please have our first agenda item read out?
Review and approval of the April 6th, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
All right. Thank you. Could I get a motion for that from one of the commissioners? Vice Chair Harrington.
I make a motion that we approve the agenda item minutes as said.
And could I get a second?
I'll second
the motion.
All right. We've got our second. Twice. Ms. Ancona, will you please do the roll call vote? Sorry.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Commissioner Hong, we didn't hear you.
Aye. Can you hear?
Yes. Yeah, now we can.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Ancona, could you please read out our second agenda item?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding proposed setback reductions for land zoned low density residential within the Rancho Vistoso planned area development.
All right. Thank you for that. I am going to turn the time over to staff member Mr. Kyle Packer for the staff's presentation on that item. Mr. Packer.
Good evening and thank you for your time, Commission. My name is Kyle Packer and I'm a planner with the town of Oro Valley. My presentation tonight is regarding the proposed front yard setback reduction for land zoned low density residential within the Rancho Vistoso planned area development. The applicant's request is a text amendment to the Rancho Vistoso planned area development to reduce front setbacks within LDR, the low density residential designation within Rancho Vistoso. The current and proposed standards are listed here, and I'll go over them with a graphic in a few slides. This proposed text amendment would be applicable to all LDR designated properties within Rancho Vistoso, and I'll also review this in more depth on the next slide. I'd like to take a moment to define setbacks. A setback is the shortest straight line distance from the property boundary to a building or a structure on that property. The subject area for the proposed text amendment is shown on this slide. It includes the applicant property, Vermilion at Rancho Vistoso, shown here in orange, as well as Stone Canyon 1, 6, and 7, and the estates at High Mesa. Painted Sky Elementary School is also a designated LDR area, but it is not a residential subdivision. Moving on to discuss the code itself, the intent of the original language was to create unique streetscapes through the variation of setbacks. The existing code was written prior to the adoption of the town's design standards and guidelines, which has similar provisions built in. As such, the intent of the existing language is duplicative and encouraging those varied streetscapes. The difference between the existing standards and the proposed standards can be seen here. On the left, Rancho Vistoso low density residential currently has a 20-foot minimum, shown in red, and a 25-foot average setback, shown in orange. This means the average setback across all homes in the subdivision must be 25 feet. If one home pursues the 20-foot minimum, another must be set back 30 feet to offset that, and so on. On the right side are the proposed standards. The applicant would like to keep the 20-foot minimum setback for front entry garage homes and include a 15-foot minimum setback for homes with a side entry garage. Varied streetscapes are generated through the town's design standards and guidelines under this scenario, as well as the difference between these two setbacks. For those who are unfamiliar, this slide demonstrates what a side entry garage is. The image on the left shows a side entry garage home. As the name implies, the garage is entered from the side of the lot. The image on the right shows the setback difference between a front entry home and a side entry garage home. This side entry garage home has a front setback of 15 feet, which is reflected by the orange arrow, and the blue arrow reflects the 20-foot setback applicable to standard homes without a side entry garage. I'd like to now briefly discuss the setbacks currently found within the Rancho Vistoso planned area. This overview of front setbacks in Rancho Vistoso demonstrates that, per the document, very low density residential, or VLDR, areas have a front setback of 30 feet. LDR has the existing standards previously described, and every other residential designation has a setback of 20 feet. However, it's important to note that there are approved setbacks that are different within the Rancho Vistoso PAD. Specifically, the area in blue is designated MDR, or medium density residential, and has side entry garage setbacks similar to the applicant's request of 20 feet for front entry and 15 feet for side entry garage homes. The area in green is also designated MDR and has front setbacks of 20 feet for front entry and 10 feet for side entry, which is less restrictive than what the applicant is requesting. For reference, the applicant's site is shown in orange on this graphic. While the Oro Valley Zoning Code does not have a low density residential designation, it does have zones with similar densities and minimum lot sizes. These are the R1-10 and R1-20 zones with 25-foot and 30-foot front yard setbacks, respectively. Looking to other planned area developments within the town of Oro Valley, the Capella PAD's LDR designation is equivalent to R1-7 and states front setbacks of 20 feet for front entry and 15 feet for side entry garage homes. The Law Reserve PAD does not have an LDR designation, but has two residential-focused development areas with setbacks of 15 feet and 20 feet. The minimum lot size for both of these development areas is significantly larger than the minimum lot size for Rancho Vistoso's low-density residential. When evaluating the proposed setbacks in connection to a low-density residential designation, the town of Oro Valley has a number of standards and examples in place. The proposed text amendment has been evaluated for conformance with the general plan, and staff finds that the goals and policies shown here demonstrate the proposed amendment is in conformance with the general plan, primarily through allowing more design flexibility. And finally, there are two important meetings that have occurred to date in regards to public participation. The first was a meeting with the HOA leaders of all of Rancho Vistoso, as well as the LDR properties within Rancho Vistoso. When we spoke to these HOA leaders, their primary concerns were about the impacts to their existing setbacks. However, each of these subdivisions has an HOA with design standards that are more restrictive than both the existing and proposed town standards. And as such, the HOA enforced setbacks will continue to prevail, so they will not be impacted currently. The second meeting was the neighborhood meeting that was held on April 1st. Postcards for the neighborhood meeting were mailed to all property owners and HOAs within the LDR designated areas in Rancho Vistoso. We had four residents attend, and no questions or comments were shared with the applicant or town staff. In summary, the applicant property will have varied streetscapes as required by the town's design guidelines and standards. Side entry garages with the proposed front setbacks exist within Rancho Vistoso, as well as other planned area developments within the town, and are less restrictive than some comparable zoning in the Oro Valley Zoning Code Revised. The proposed text amendment conforms with the general plan by allowing design flexibility, and the applicant property is the only currently impacted by the request. As such, staff is recommending approval. Thank you for your time, Commission. The applicant is here with a presentation and additional details of their own.
All right, thank you so much, Mr. Packer. I will now turn the time over to Mr. Oland, the applicant presenter. Mr. Oland, I think you're up and you just need to unmute.
Got it. Yes. Good evening, hello, everybody. Thank you for the time. I will be quick. I only have one slide this evening. I wanted to make a couple of quick comments, though, if I might. So I wanted to point out that the Vermilion parcel is already under construction. It's approved for development. The number of homes and everything are set by the zoning. And they're out there about ready to start on the homes. So this is timely, and we appreciate the town working with us through this process. As Mr. Packer mentioned, it won't have an impact anywhere else. This piece is a long and skinny piece. It's got an oversized open space buffer on the west that was instituted many years ago to provide additional buffering between the Rancho Vistoso homes and the La Cholla Air Park to the west. And then of course there's a wash to the east, which pinches it in from that side. There's no proposed changes to side or rear setbacks. And as Mr. Packer mentioned, there are a number of other examples in Oro Valley that have similar setbacks. There's in addition to the Capella and La Reserve that he mentioned, the villages of Silverhawk have these same setbacks, Suarez Viejos East, and I believe 10J, Vistoso 10J, also has this provision that allows for some additional variation of the streetscape. No impact to surrounding owners. The nearest homes are several hundred feet away. And it will help the home builder meet the demand for larger homes by allowing them to offer a greater variety of floor plan options. This slide here that I'm showing, The top is what's existing and approved, and the bottom is what we're asking for. So you can tell there's not much difference. The front setbacks there are drawn correctly. So the bottom one there, you can see the front setbacks come in a little closer to the street. Other than that, obviously this will have absolutely no impact on any of the surrounding homes. And again, we think it will result in a better streetscape and better options available to home buyers. So appreciate the time. I'm happy to answer any additional questions. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Oland. I will now turn the time over to commissioners to ask any questions that they have. So if any of the commissioners have a question, if they could raise their hand now, that would be great. All right, I am not seeing any commissioners with their hands up to ask questions, so I am going to open up the public hearing. So if anyone from the public has a question or comment, we will hear those right now. And remember, if you would like to make a comment, to click on the hand icon, the raise your hand icon, usually in the bottom middle of your screen, or if you're calling in on the phone, to press *9. And I do not see any members of the public with their hand raised, so I will close the public hearing. and turn the time back to the commissioners to discuss this. So does anybody have any comments, discussion points they'd like to make at this time? Commissioner Sturman.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. One of the aspects of the Vermilion development is that they're, one of their options is to have an RV garage adjacent to the actual home building. So with the setback arrangement that you're proposing, where would be the RV building, or would they be restricted to a certain array of setback homes? I hope I'm clear on my question.
Sure. Chair Gamble, if I may answer.
Yep.
So the RV garages would be front facing. So those would be subject to the standard setback, 20 feet. And I don't know if they set them back any further, but they would not be eligible for the, for the reduced setback, unless somehow they were able to put a side entry RV garage in, which I don't see that happening.
Well, that's what I was kind of concerned about, because I just don't know how that physically did, could do it. But I thought it would be limited, to the ones with the larger setback number. That's all.
Yeah, they're slightly larger lots than a lot of the surrounding homes, but they're not that much larger.
Okay. Now for the ones that would be closer with the side entry garage, would those be single story restriction, or would be just a two story across the board?
So couple things apply here. One is of course Oravalle's standards that limit the number of two stories in any development would continue to apply, the end units, and you can't have more than a couple in a row, things like that. But in addition, this property has the crosswind runway that goes over it. It's a few hundred feet away, but it's still within that airport environs zone, which is basically a huge cone that goes up off the earth, a very flat cone. And so what it does to this property, and this was all vetted during the site planning process, was there's a few lots in the middle that are limited, not only to single story, but also to specific heights where some of those homes right kind of in the middle of the thing actually have to be pushed down a little more than usual because of that overflight zone. And that zone affects properties further east too. Existing homes across La Cañada are also subject to that.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Thank you, Paul Olin.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Sturman. Did any other commissioners have a question? Vice Chair Harrington? Will you unmute? Oh, there you go.
I do have a question about the homes being consecutive. Would the homes that are side garage, would that be not consecutive, the same ideal or same model units next to each other? I think that would be a question of mine that not occur, that the same consecutive home is the same.
Chair Gamble, I can answer that. From a code perspective, Vice Chair Harrington, we do have code requirements that require that lots adjacent to each other, more than two, do have to vary the building height and model and elevation style. So yes, that is absolutely worked into as a code requirement.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your questions. Do any other commissioners have a question? I'm not seeing any, so at this time I will ask for a motion. Commissioner Posey. Oh, you'll need to unmute. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Campbell. Yes, I'd like, I move to recommend approval of the text amendment to the low density residential zoning of the Rancho Vistoso planned area development to revise front setbacks in the district based on the finding it is in compliance with the general plan.
All right, thank you. Do I have a second? Commissioner Henderson, if you'll unmute.
Yes, I'll second that.
All right, thank you. Ms. Ancona, could we please get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Commissioner
Henderson? Aye. Yeah.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
We still couldn't hear you, Alan, or Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Got it.
There we go. You.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Ms. Ancona, if you could please read out our second agenda item.
Actually, it's our third.
Our third agenda item, yep.
Discussion regarding a proposed zoning code amendment to chapters 21 and chapter 22 to revise the planning division work plan process.
All right, thank you. And I am going to turn the time over to Ms. Sims for our staff presentation.
Good evening, Chair Gamble and Commission. Can everybody see my screen and hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So our purpose tonight is to discuss and gather the Commission's feedback on a proposed code amendment to update the Planning Division's work plan adoption process. The need for the proposed code amendment was illuminated after recent changes to the strategic planning process. Specifically, the proposed code amendment aims to remove redundant reviews of land use related items by the Commission and Council. It also aims to enable use of the same administrative work plan adoption process used by all other town departments. Lastly, yet equally important, is the proposed code amendment codifies the existing general plan progress reporting process and maintains the Commission's and Town Council's other duties, which includes the ability to initiate code amendments and projects as needed. I will discuss each key aspect further in my presentation. Before I go through the specifics of the proposed code amendment, it is important to understand the history and purpose of the work plan. The work plan adoption process, which includes consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission, Historic Preservation Commission, and Town Council, was established back in 1981. Before the strategic planning process was formally introduced, the Planning Division work plan was the primary method to identify priorities and land use objectives above staff's daily operations. However, the purpose of the Planning Division work plan was further refined when the Your Voice, Our Future general plan was ratified by the voters in 2016. The general plan established the strategic plan and its relationship to the work plan. The purpose of the strategic plan is to prioritize the town's most pressing needs with the long-range goals of the general plan in mind. The strategic plan also allows the town to reevaluate the actions based on changing conditions or unexpected events. Unlike the Planning Division work plan, the strategic plan is a town-wide policy document. It is used for the basis of all town department work plans and to allocate funding and resources. As established by the general plan, the Planning Division work plan works in unison with the strategic plan leadership plan. It includes specific tasks and resources needed to achieve the strategic leadership plan's goals and objectives, ultimately fulfilling the general plan's long-range policies. The image on the screen shows the relationship between the land use related items on each plan. You may recall seeing a similar version of this image a couple months ago when all boards and commissions were invited to participate in the strategic planning process. As you can see, the land use related objectives on the now adopted strategic plan are derived from outstanding actions from the general plan and other current needs identified by council. The work plan items are purposefully duplicate of the strategic leadership plan, yet provide specific tasks to achieve the identified goals and objectives. Because of the redundancy shown on the last slide, all other town departments manage their work plans administratively. The current process for the planning division work plan is shown on the left side of the screen. As you can see, the Planning and Zoning Commission, Historic Preservation Commission, and Town Council consider the same land use items twice in the current process, once through the strategic planning process and secondly through the Planning Division work plan process. The proposed code amendment removes the work plan from the Commission's and Council's purview to use the same administrative work plan adoption process as all other town departments. Per the general plan, the Commission and Council's focus should be on the strategic plan as it ultimately sets the priorities for town departments to implement. With that stated, the proposed code amendment intentionally does not add the Commission's participation in the strategic planning process. This is because the zoning code only covers boards or commissions associated with planning. However, all town boards and commissions, such as the Water Utility Commission, Parks and Recreation Board, and more were included in the most recent strategic planning process. As such, an approach to provide all boards and commissions the same opportunity to participate in the strategic planning process is better. Additionally, removal of the work plan from the Commission and Council's duties does not remove either body's ability to initiate code amendments or other projects as needed. Lastly, there are some housekeeping items to remove references to the work plan and codify the existing general plan reporting process. As you may recall, every December, staff provides a report to the Commission and Town Council regarding our status on implementing the 310 actions from the general plan. This report is required by state law and established in the general plan. However, it is not currently in the code. The report is important to show the community how promises made in the general plan are being fulfilled and also used to help create future strategic plans. In summary, the proposed code amendment updates the Planning Division work plan process to accomplish two key objectives. First, to remove redundant reviews of land use related items by the Commission and Council, and second, to enable use of the same administrative work plan adoption process used by all other town departments. By doing so, the proposed code amendment does not remove any other commission or council duties, such as initiating code amendments or projects as needed. Lastly, it addresses some housekeeping items that are important, such as codifying the general plan progress reporting process. Again, the purpose for tonight is to discuss the proposed amendment and gather feedback from the commission. Staff will be bringing the proposed code amendment back for consideration by the commission next month. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Ms. Sims. Do we have any comments from the commission? If you guys could raise your hand if you do. Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I do have a few concerns about this. The first is that although we were able to weigh in on the strategic leadership plan this time around, that's something new. And I believe, as indicated in the staff report, the council has not yet formally adopted a policy saying that advisory boards and commissions, such as the Planning and Zoning Commission, should be involved in that process. So until that happens, we have no assurance we're going to be able to do that next time around. Certainly for the previous plan from a couple of years ago, that was not the process. And this time around, the decision was made, I believe, just a few days before our special meeting to provide comments on the draft strategic plan. So until that becomes something formalized through council policy, we're not ready to adopt an ordinance like this, I don't think. The other thing is that even though there are not code requirements that other boards or commissions advise their departments. Certainly, I would think that happens informally. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that the Parks and Recreation Department, for example, is proceeding with a work program without consulting with their Parks Advisory Board. And I would hope that would happen with this commission as well going forward, even if there's not a requirement in the code that that must happen. Lastly, the one other concern I have is that as we discovered in our special session to discuss the strategic leadership plan, or at least the draft version, the objectives that are listed in that plan are not prioritized. They're just sort of random under each listed goal. So if that is to be a guide to the work plan that is adopted for planning, then basically the planning and zoning administrator will be required to apply some discretion in determining which objective comes is most important and which should be listed first in the planning, in the work plan. In other words, you only have limited resources. You can't do everything at once. So they're going to have to figure out what comes first. And I think leaving that decision up to the planning and zoning administrator is inappropriate. I think that there should be some consultation with outside folks, including this commission. So that would be a concern as well. So bottom line is, I don't think we should be adopting this ordinance until at least the council takes action to formally adopt a policy setting the advisory boards and commissions as participants in the decision-making process on the specific plan, or the, excuse me, on the strategic plan. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Do we have any other commissioners that have questions or comments, opinions? I am not seeing any. Ms. Sims, did you have anything else to add?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma, thank you for your feedback. And no, I don't have anything else to add on this item. We will definitely look into your concerns, and we'll come back next month with some more information.
Okay, great. We look forward to your presentation next month. And since I don't see any more commissioner hands, I will close up this agenda item, as it was only a presentation. And we can move on to agenda item number 4. Ms. Ancona, will you please read that one for us?
Discussion regarding land development in Rancho Vistoso.
All right, thank you so much. And I will turn the time back over to Ms. Sims for staff presentation on that.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. And can everybody see my screen again?
Yes.
I've heard my sound is going in and out, so I'll try to let me know if that happens.
Okay, I will.
Right. So for this item, our purpose is to discuss land development in Rancho Vistoso. So since January, staff have been providing the commission with information regarding the town's growth and remaining land supply. These discussions are important to make strategic decisions as the town approaches build out. Tonight's presentation is the third part of this town growth series. However, this will not be the last discussion we have at the commission regarding demographics, growth, and land supply as we continue moving towards build out. The focus of tonight's discussion is specific to the development in Rancho Vistoso. Rancho Vistoso is the largest planned area development or master planned community in Oro Valley. I will be discussing it in relationship to the overall town's development. As such, some of the information you hear tonight is repetitive from last month's presentation, but important to provide context. So before I get into all the numbers and percentages, I want to take a step back and explain how we collected and analyzed the data. This was done through a technical process using sophisticated analytical tools and GIS, or computer mapping, which was used to derive the data for both the townwide and Rancho Vistoso maps. GIS allowed us to review data for each parcel throughout the town, such as zoning, ownership, and more. Using this data and comparing it with the town's permitting software and aerials, we were able to categorize each parcel. These categories are used throughout my presentation and include built land, which are those parcels with buildings on them or those under construction with active building permits. For instance, several lots in some of the newer subdivisions do not have a home on them yet, but permits have been pulled for construction. Planned land is land that is committed for development. Although it is vacant, it has either an approved development plan or subdivision plat. Lots in subdivisions like Stone Canyon that do not have buildings or active building permits pulled fall under this category. Per code definition, open space includes natural or landscaped areas that are either privately or publicly maintained and accessible. This includes publicly owned natural open space, which is largely composed of drainage ways and other environmental resources. Private and HOA open space are common areas, which includes natural open space, but also landscaped areas such as parks. There's also public parks, which include cultural resources like Steam Pump Ranch, and private and public owned golf courses. Lastly is unplanned vacant land, which are parcels that do not have buildings, building permits, or prior development plan approvals. Using GIS software, the acreage of each category was then totaled to get the total acres and percentages you will be seeing tonight. So looking at the overall big picture again, the town's remaining land supply is limited. A key takeaway is the land committed, meaning has building on it, permits pulled or planned for development, with an approved plan or open space has increased from 85% to 94% within the past 5 years. The town has 6% of remaining unplanned vacant land. And to be clear, this is vacant land with no prior commitments. Most of Oro Valley's remaining land supply is large lot residential, with some tech park and commercial remaining. As the remaining land continues to decrease, redevelopment of existing sites will begin to occur. Being strategic about the use of the remaining land and redevelopment is important as the town moves forward. This is also pertinent to the remaining land in Rancho Vistoso as well. Before I discuss land supply in Rancho Vistoso, I want to take a moment to provide some more information about the open space. This is new information from our previous discussion about townwide land development, but it is important as Rancho Vistoso plays a pivotal role in the town's 22% of open space. Again, open space is natural and landscaped areas per code. As you can see on the chart, most of the town's open space is owned and maintained by private individuals or HOAs. This includes natural desert and riparian areas, neighborhood parks, and other landscaped areas. However, 30% of the open space is publicly owned natural open space. This includes drainage areas such as Big Wash and the Cañada del Oro Wash. Lastly, when combined, private and public golf courses and public parks account for 24% of the open space in town. Again, our focus this evening is Rancho Vistoso. Interestingly, the amount of land committed is also 94%. However, the planned for development land is much lower than the town's percentage at 9%. This means more of the land in Rancho Vistoso is built rather than under construction or planned for development. The planned areas represent newer subdivisions recently approved, such as Tranquillo near Big Wash, and also the remaining custom home lots in Stone Canyon, which are shown in blue on the map. Another major difference is the amount of open space in Rancho Vistoso. It is more than double the town's overall open space amount and a significant contributor to the town. Lastly, a key difference is the land use for the remaining unplanned land. Unlike the town, Rancho Vistoso's remaining land is mostly tech park or commercial instead of residential. I will talk about how this occurred and why it is important in a moment. But first, I want to provide some details about the large percentage of open space in Rancho Vistoso. Similar to the town's distribution of open space, the majority of Rancho Vistoso's open space is private and HOA open space or common area. Again, private and HOA open space includes neighborhood parks, landscape common areas, and natural desert or riparian areas. Of the open space is publicly owned. Especially in Rancho Vistoso, this includes Big Wash and its tributaries. Lastly, it includes golf courses, which account for 17%, and public parks or cultural resources, such as Honeybee Preserve, accounting for 2% of the open space. With regard to public parks, I do want to mention to the commission that there is a recommendation in the Parks and Recreation Master Plan to create larger neighborhood parks and a town-owned community park north of Tangerine. The Parks and Rec Master Plan will be considered by Town Council this month. In comparison, Oro Valley and Rancho Vistoso are similar with regard to the amount of land committed, both at 94%. Again, this is accumulation of the parcels with buildings, permits pulled, planned for development or open space. And again, a big difference is the amount of open space Rancho Vistoso has in comparison to the town-wide percentage. So a fun fact is that Rancho Vistoso used to be a ranch, and the original ranch home site was located where the Oro Valley Village Center, previously known as the Marketplace, is today. This is how the area got its name. It was master planned in Pima County and then annexed into the town in 1987. This is also when the town adopted planned area development policies. The 1987 master plan was highly detailed, even to today's standards. It divided the area into 13 different neighborhoods and applied the amount of open space, density, and circulation parcel by parcel. The original plan is shown on the screen. As you can see, there was more development planned near Big Wash, including a road through the wash, and a little less development in Stone Canyon. Overall, the master plan anticipated almost 14,000 homes. It also included 47% of open space and roughly 11% of tech park and commercial space. Notably, the amount of open space has been maintained from the original plan. However, only a little more than half of the residential units originally planned for have been approved. Several subdivisions built to a lower density than allowed, and there are only 4 unplanned residential sites remaining with 130 units projected. This results in a deficit of units and population. Infrastructure like roads and the amount of commercial land was based on having nearly 14,000 homes and users. The key takeaways are Rancho Vistoso will not build the number of units originally planned, but again, the PAD objective for nearly a half of the area to remain as open space has been maintained. Similar to the town, the amount of remaining unplanned vacant land in Rancho Vistoso is limited. However, the unplanned land in Rancho Vistoso is mostly tech park or commercial rather than residential. As you may recall from last month's presentation, a key driver to Oro Valley's development is housing. The lack of density developed in Rancho Vistoso in comparison to what was planned led to a significant amount of commercial land remaining. For instance, the commercial land on the corner of First and Tangerine has remained vacant largely due to the lack of population surrounding it to support that much commercial space. In addition to the commercial space, there's also tech park space remaining in Innovation Park. Recently, several staff members attended the Urban Land Institute's Arizona Trend Days conference. Statewide, there is a surge of industrial uses, such as micro data centers and manufacturing for automation and robotics. This is especially prevalent due to COVID-19 and are uses suitable for tech park areas. That stated, the town needs to be strategic with the remaining land to support these commercial areas and conserve Tech Park spaces. Additionally, for future development, there is a school site shown in bright blue and only four remaining unplanned vacant residential sites. The residential sites are circled in orange. So focusing on residential, you may remember the graph on the screen from the previous two presentations. So I don't want to take a long time on this slide again. But again, the main takeaway is Oro Valley's big boom period was in the 90s. The town currently issues roughly 300 single family permits a year, which staff projects will be the case for the next 4 years, and then we will start to see a decrease. This is our best guess, of course, as the market may change and other factors such as annexations or redevelopment may occur. However, similarly, plat approvals were also largest in the 90s in Rancho Vistoso as well. Although there were some approvals during the decline, notably in Stone Canyon, there were no approvals during the peak of the recession period. As you are aware, there are new subdivisions like Center Point, Eagles Rest, and those near Big Wash that were approved within the last 6 years, most of which were built to a lower density than planned and contribute to what Rancho Vistoso is today versus what was planned. While looking at the residential areas in Rancho Vistoso, there are 786 units remaining and projected for construction. As shown on the pie graph, the homes projected in Rancho Vistoso account for 20% of the townwide amount of homes projected to build out. So although Rancho Vistoso is a contributor to the amount of homes remaining and projected, it is not a dominant factor. The 786 units projected include the remaining lots and approved subdivisions yet to be built. Out of the 8,692 approved lots discussed earlier, 8% remain empty, the majority of which are in Stone Canyon and the newer subdivisions near Big Wash. The 786 units also includes projections for the four unplanned residential sites. Three are in Stone Canyon and one is along Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. Another interesting site will be the resort site shown in brown near Stone Canyon. There was a Ritz-Carlton approved for development in 2001, but the site has some difficult terrain to navigate and remains vacant. Ultimately, the amount of homes planned to support commercial and tech park areas will not be met upon build out. So in summary, both Oro Valley and Rancho Vistoso have very limited land remaining. Similarly to the previous presentations, the town must be strategic about the remaining land and redevelopment of existing sites. Key takeaways for Rancho Vistoso include the amount of open space, not only meets the original amount planned, but is also a significant contributor to the town's overall amount. However, Rancho Vistoso developed at a much lower density than planned, which resulted in mostly tech park and commercial land remaining. Density to support commercial areas and conserve tech park areas should be a key considerations moving forward. Future development in Rancho Vistoso, not including approved subdivisions currently under construction, will predominantly be an innovation park, commercial nodes such as First and Tangerine, and on the four remaining unplanned residential sites. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Sims. I am going to turn the time over to commissioners to ask any questions that they have of Ms. Sims. Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble and Ms. Sims. That was an interesting presentation. A lot of numbers there, but you're correct. The bottom line is we're running out of land, especially for residential development. And what we have is not being developed at the density originally anticipated. So, and the irony is that even though we're building fewer homes, they're bigger homes, and the households in those homes are smaller. So overall, we're getting a lower population growth than we might have otherwise. And although one of your points is that if you have lower densities, we have less population to support the retail commercial development in the community, which is true. One thing that I think we need to remember is that those homes are also needed for people that work in the community. And if we don't provide more housing for employees, including essential employees like public safety employees, police officers, fire protection folks, medical workers, and so on, they're not going to be able to live in Oro Valley. They're going to have to go elsewhere. So that's a concern. In fact, that could be an impediment to economic development if an employer comes in and says, well, where are my employees going to live? There's no housing, or at least no housing that's affordable to them. Then they may have a second thought about locating their operations in Oro Valley. So that's a concern. So the one thing that I think we need to think about is redevelopment opportunities, especially if we have too much commercial land. Can some of that be redeveloped as residential? Another is infill. And we have a lot of large lot residential development. Can we, in fact, put additional units on some of those big lots? Just for your information, I might have mentioned this in the past, but one of my other volunteer activities is working for AARP Arizona as a livable communities volunteer. And that entails supporting planning efforts to provide more affordable housing, among other things. One of the things that AARP supports is allowing for what are called attached dwelling units, or casitas, or granny flats, things that are allowed in some areas, in fact, throughout California and Oregon and other Pacific Coast states, pretty much by right, where a small unit, maybe up to 1,000 square feet, is located in the backyard of a lot behind a larger unit. And those have a lot of advantages. I'm not going to go into details, but right now the city of Tucson is looking into allowing accessory dwelling units in all of its single family residential areas. And I'm representing AARP on a stakeholder advisory group to that process. I don't think we're ready right now in Oro Valley to consider doing something like that, but I think it'd be interesting to watch and see what happens in Tucson. And if they do pass something, and there's a lot of issues in doing that, then I think it's something that Oro Valley should consider, because it's a way of increasing the density in existing residential neighborhoods without having a significant impact on those neighborhoods. So that may be one solution that the town should consider sometime in the future. So just some thoughts, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Commissioner Henderson?
Thank you. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Gamble and Ms. Sims. Just very briefly, I would like to thank you, Ms. Sims, and your staff for adding considerable detail to your presentation regarding open space. I think that's very helpful for me and the other residents of the town. Thank you very much. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Henderson. Do we have any other comments or questions at this time? I am not seeing any, so I will close our fourth agenda item, and I will move on to our planning division update. Mr. Spaeth?
Had to catch up there. Sorry, Chair Gamble. Thank you.
That's okay.
Members of the commission. So thank you for the planning division update. So we do have an upcoming neighborhood meeting on May 20th. That invite should be sent out if it hasn't been already. It's for conceptual site plan and architecture for a proposed subdivision referred to as the Morning Vista subdivision. It's located on the northeast corner of Rancho Vistoso and Morning Vista Drive. It's for an 18 unit residential townhome development. So on May 20th, I hope all of you folks are able to attend that. Should be a good discussion. For next month's meeting, we will have the item that was presented for discussion tonight regarding the code amendment and the planning division update process. So the one that Ms. Sims presented this evening will be presented for discussion and possible action that evening. And lastly, I have a bit of personal news that I wrote down. So Chair Gamble, if you'll humor me, I wanted to make sure I got this written out. So,
a bit of a
sappy teddy bear. So I hope I get it all out without, you know, hesitation. So it is with great humility and a bittersweet feeling that tonight is going to be my last night as a liaison for the Planning and Zoning Commission, as my last day with the town is this Friday. I want you all to know how proud and appreciative I am of all of you, and appreciate that each of you bring your own perspective to each decision that's put before you. And especially as a citizen of the town, I'm one of the very few in the planning department who actually lives in Oral Valley. As a citizen of the town, I want to thank you for your time, thoughtfulness, and dedication to the town. It's very appreciative for those of us who live here. I've truly enjoyed working with each of you, and know that you and Oral Valley are left in good hands. And I just want to say thank you again for your dedication, and it's been my pleasure to serve as your liaison moving forward. So, in the past, you know what I mean. So, my last day's on Friday. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I won't be muddying the waters anymore for any of you. So maybe there's brighter horizons in the future.
Oh, I don't agree with that, Mr. Spaeth. You've been a pleasure to work with. You know, you're such a kind, genuine, amazing person. I feel like we've all been so lucky to get to work with you. And I kind of wanted to do a little mini brag on you and your wife, Brianna. For those of you who don't know, they have started their own independent full service pharmacy up in Catalina. And they have been so great. And I know that's what you're leaving for. It's been so successful that you are running that. And I know I'm just amazed you guys recently received congressional recognition for all of the volunteers you were able to assemble and all of the work you did helping with the COVID-19 vaccination in Saddlebrook. And those efforts are just so commendable. And, you know, it's just been such a pleasure. And I wish you and your wife just the best in your future endeavors, and health and success for your pharmacy and for your family. And I think I speak for all of the commissioners in saying we'll definitely miss you and miss working with you, because you're just the best of the best. And hopefully, you know, we'll see you at a commission meeting or two in the audience sometime.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Anybody ever need a booster shot, let us know. We'll get you the COVID booster shot for you. So thank you very much. You guys are excellent. I appreciate it.
Chair Gamble.
Yes.
I could, I'd like to just say something.
Sure.
Mr. Spaeth, I'm very sorry to hear this. This is the first I've heard of this, but I just want to offer you my and the council's heartfelt appreciation for your work and effort for the town. You have been working on planning and zoning the entire time that I have been involved in and worked for the town. And I truly have admired your professionalism, your competence, your heart and caring for the town, your respect for the people in our community, your respect for the applicants, your respect for the commission and the council. I'm sorry, my dog's in the background if you hear her, but anyway, you've just done a tremendous job. And I have to say, I'm very sorry to hear you go, because I had envisioned for you a long future in the Oro Valley Planning Department, in the town of Oro Valley. And I'll admit I'm getting a little choked up, but I just feel like as the council liaison, I'd like to express my appreciation as well on behalf of the entire council. you've just done a tremendous job for our town, and we appreciate you and your work so very much. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Commissioner Posey, I know there's probably some of us that wanted to say goodbye.
Yes, I'm just, but thank you, Chair Gamble. You and Council Barrett pretty much said it all. It has been a pleasure to work with you, Mountain Man. We're going to miss you.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody. You guys are great. Appreciate your patience, your professionalism. I appreciate it very much.
Well, we all wish you the best of luck, Mr. Spaeth, and are so sad to see you go. You will definitely be missed by all. And with that, I am going to ask for a motion to adjourn our meeting.
I make a motion that we adjourn our meeting.
Vice Chair Harrington?
I'll second that motion.
All right. Thank you all very much. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.